We once regarded Christ according to the flesh, but we do so no longer. Now, what does it mean to regard someone according to the flesh?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, you know I can't just let that question hang out there. What does it mean to regard someone according to the flesh?
Well, it means to form an impression or an opinion about a person on the basis of the most obvious things about them.
All right, so you're talking about appearance, height, yep, weight, all that type of thing.
All of that kind of thing. And all of these kind of things are the things actually that make us different. They're the things that pull us apart. They're often the kinds of things that will either inflate our view of ourselves, that we think, oh boy, I'm really something here, or depress our view of ourselves. Boy, I don't like the way that I look, and all of that kind of thing. So judging according to the flesh brings us to all kinds of places we do not want to be in regards to ourselves and in regards to others. We're going to look at how we change the way in which we view ourselves and others. And guess what? How we view Jesus Christ is right at the center of it.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning today with verse 16, as we begin a message entitled, A New Perspective. Here's Pastor Colin.
Please open your Bibles at 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. We looked last time from verse 14 at what it means to be controlled by the love of Christ. And we saw the testimony of the Apostle Paul that the love of Christ really took a grip in his life, took hold of his life when he came to two conclusions about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first was that Jesus changed death, that he died in our place in order to change the face of death forever. That's why he says one has died for all, and therefore all have died. He has changed death from what it would have been, a passing into condemnation, into what it will be for a person who's in Christ, and entering into celebration. He's changed the face of death for all of his people. And then not only that, we saw that the Lord Jesus has changed the face of life, the whole purpose of life. He died to bring us from the misery of living for self into the joy of living for him. He died, verse 15, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now, in these verses, we've really come to the core of what God has done in Jesus Christ for all of his people. He's changed death, he's changed life, and he's done it for all who are in Jesus Christ. Now, today we're going to come to the first of really a series of conclusions or applications that come from the great truth of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he has accomplished for his people. And so we're really coming, therefore, to a series of conclusions from this wonderful reality that the love of Christ controls us. And what we're going to see today is that when that is the case, it changes the way that we see other people, and it also changes the way in which we see ourselves. And so I want to try and show you from the Bible today how it is that knowing Jesus Christ will change the way you view others, and it will change the way in which you see yourself. So we come therefore to verse 16 and verse 17, and I'd like to read these verses again for you now. From now on, therefore, so the word therefore means this is a conclusion. This is what comes from what we've been learning before. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. So that same phrase a second time. Even though we once did this, we regard him thus no longer. And then this marvelous verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, the key words here are the words according to the flesh. And you'll notice that that little phrase comes twice in verse 16, as if to underline its importance. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We once regarded Christ according to the flesh, but we do so no longer. Now, what does it mean to regard someone according to the flesh. Well, very simply, to regard someone according to the flesh means to form an impression about a person from the most obvious things about them. Remember, the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We often emphasize rightly the second half of that verse, God looks on the heart. We forget the first part, which is that man looks on the outward appearance. We form impressions on what is immediately apparent in regards to other people. Of course, we do want to know the heart, but as everyone knows, that takes time, and you can't do that with everybody. You're only able to know the heart of a limited number of people. So I want to list for you then 10 factors that distinguish us according to the flesh. And let me give you this health warning before we get into it. Every one of them is sensitive. Every one of them is sensitive. That was the thing as I was just meditating on this and listing out what does it mean to be in the flesh, and what does this phrase according to the flesh mean? I'm meditating on it. So I'm going, oh, that's sensitive. Oh, so's that. Oh, so's that. And the reason for that is that these things reflect our life in this world, and as you will see, they are therefore the focus of great tension in many spheres. Here is number one, appearance, the most obvious of them all. This is obviously the first way in which we identify people in ordinary conversation. Karen will say, I spoke to Mary Jones this morning. And I'll say, now, who is she? And she'll say, well, she's the tall lady with the dark curly hair, and she walks with a bit of a stoop, and she always wears a green coat. Now, I mean, that's the kind of ordinary conversation that we have all of the time in regards to how we describe or identify people. According to the flesh, you have a certain height, and you may either like that or not like it. You are of a certain weight, and you may either like that or you may not like that. You have your own style, you have your own level of fitness, and all of these things are immediately apparent. All of us have thoughts about our own appearance, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, how it compares with the appearance of others, and that's why these things become sensitive. But our appearance is a factor that distinguishes us according to the flesh. That's number one. Number two, ability. I'm thinking here about gifts, talents, abilities that each of us have in different spheres, sports, arts, music, so forth and so on. And our abilities in different areas are part of what we are according to the flesh. Now, I went to high school for 6 years, and the reason I hasten to add is not that I did particularly badly. It was that we didn't have middle school, and so at the age of 12, you went to what was called secondary school, effectively high school, and were there for 6 years. So I began there at the age of 12. And in the high school that I attended, for which I will always be grateful, we were divided into streams according to ability, and many others will have had this kind of experience. There were 5 classes in each year. And if you're curious to know where I was, the answer actually is very, very boring. I was absolutely slap bang right in the middle. Well, I guess the school didn't want it to be too obvious that the classes were streamed. And so the classes were given what seemed to be random names. They were X, G, T, H, and K. And so you would go into 1X or 1G and 2X and 2G and so forth and so on. Well, of course, all the kids, as is always the case, knew who was at the top and who was at the bottom. And so here we were, 12 years old, trying to work out what these apparently random letters might actually stand for. And we worked it out. X, we decided for sure, must be for excellent, because these kids were the high flyers. G, which was the next lot, therefore must be for good. T, which was us, we dubbed terrific, though other classes reckoned that it may well be terrible. H was obviously for horrible, which left K, which by universal acclamation was regarded as standing for chronic. And these kids lived with that for 6 years. Now, this is the world in which we live, and how many of you have these awful memories of, you know, two captains picking teams for some kickabout game with a ball, and there you are, all the kids standing on the wall, and oh, I love this person, I love this person, and the first ones to be chosen, they walk out with a kind of swagger, because they're obviously the best players, and then the number that are standing by the wall becomes lower and lower, and the last kids to be chosen kind of walk out with their heads hanging, because everybody knows that they're the ones who are least wanted on the team. Why? Because they've got a lower level of ability when it comes to this particular game. We have different abilities that distinguish us according to the flesh.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A New Perspective. Part of our series, Don't Lose Heart, a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to get back to this message in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station and make the podcast and the app available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Pastor Colin has picked out. It's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can find out more about this book or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org. Or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Number three, age. The young and the old and everything in between. Paul says to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. What's the point of him saying that? Well, some people will not give him a lot of credibility because he is young and he's going to have to earn their trust and their respect. Similarly, older people often feel pushed to the margins in a society that chases increasingly after the young. And so how many tensions in society relate to these differences between us relating to age? Number four, friends. When you're at school, this can be a huge factor in your life. Who are your friends? What's the group to which you belong? Which group wants you in and which group doesn't want you in? This remains true throughout life. We talk about social circle, and it becomes important and significant with regards to who we are in the flesh. Number five, race. We're talking about the things that distinguish us according to the flesh. And clearly race or ethnicity is one of these. And it's very striking how often in the Bible you have reference to the Jews and the Gentiles, and often the great tensions between these two and how they might be overcome. You can't understand the history of America or of the tensions in our country today apart from this issue and the many, many injustices that have gone with it. Number six, gender. God has made us male and female, and this distinguishes us according to the flesh. As we think about race and about gender, just think about this. These are the great issues that cause so much tension, so much debate within our society. We're trying to work out how we live together well with what distinguishes us according to the flesh. Number seven, work. According to the flesh, our life in this world, the kind of work that a person does leads to a very different kind of experience in life. Manual labor, business, education, health, arts, science, or is your work in the home and with the family? And the kind of work you do relates very much to the kind of experience that you have in your life. I'm always interested to ask people now, what's your work? Because that gives a great insight into what a person's experience of life actually is according to the flesh. Number eight, home. I find it difficult to know what to call this one, but think about everything that goes into a person's lifestyle. The home you live in, the car that you drive, the vacations you enjoy, the restaurants you frequent, the entertainment that you choose, the leisure activities you pursue, all of this is driven in very significant measure by what? The underlying means that are available to you to sustain this particular style of life. So I could have called it wealth, I could have called it lifestyle, I called it simply home. Home has associations. We sometimes use the phrase, you know, brought up on the wrong side of the tracks. Why do we use that phrase? Because so many communities have a more prosperous part of the community that is one side of a railway line and a less prosperous part of a community that is on the other side of the tracks. Number nine, family. And here we can include family of origin, family by adoption, and family by marriage. And there's the whole issue of the mix that gets scooped out of the gene pool and gets poured into you. And we think, most of us, perhaps a great deal from time to time about that. Gifts and talents and physical features that were passed to you from your parents. But then along with that, battles and struggles and desires that were in your father and mother and may also in some degree now be in you. And most of us therefore try to spend some time figuring out now what is in us and where did it come from? And when we do this, we are very simply trying to figure out who we are according to the flesh. This is all part of what's being spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. And for some, this whole business has many more blessings than it has sorrows. You think primarily of what you've received genetically in terms of what you aspire to in those you have seen that you've gone before. And for others, there are many more sorrows than there are blessings. And when you think of this whole thing, you're thinking of what you want to try and avoid in terms of what has gone before. For some who don't know who their biological parents are, there are open questions and curiosity about what is in me. But what I'm saying to you is that for every single one of us, this whole business is a mixed bag. According to the flesh, which leads to number 10, experience. Who we are according to the flesh is shaped not only by nature, but by nurture, not only by the genes that have been passed to us, but also by the environment of our experience. And so our early experiences, either of great love or of great neglect, will have significant influence on the shaping of our lives according to the flesh. The opportunities that come or do not come to us in our growing up years also will be significant. Some people seem to have a track in which all the doors open for them, and others have a track in which it seems all the doors close for them. And it makes a significant difference in our experience of life according to the flesh. So there are 10 factors. When I got to 10, I thought, I've got to stop, otherwise I'll go on forever. You can discuss this in the life groups. You can add other factors and to the list. But as I've been reflecting on these issues and just going through the list and saying, why is it that these are the issues that are so sensitive in our world? I think it's for this reason, that because for many people, what we are according to the flesh is the only thing there is. And if what you are according to the flesh is the only thing there is, you will always be uptight about who you are according to the flesh. You have to be. If that's all there is, you'll always be battling it and never find a way of coming to peace with it. And now that we've looked at these 10, I want you to see, hear, and feel the extraordinary power of what God says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. From now on, therefore, we, that is, we who are in Christ, regard no one according to the flesh. That is an extraordinarily radical statement. In a world in which everything is about what we are in the flesh, the Apostle Paul says, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. In a world in which people's lives are perceived to be shaped and defined by the 10 factors that we've looked at and others that may be added, the apostle says that for us who are in Christ, we don't see these things as ultimately defining of any person. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So now that we've tuned our minds into how extraordinarily important this is and how deeply it speaks to our entire world and to our personal lives, I want to put this case before you that a change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself. That is the thrust of these verses that are before us as we follow what the Apostle Paul is saying. A change in how you see Jesus will lead to a change in how you see others and a change in how you see yourself. And this is wonderfully liberating for all who are in Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called A New Perspective. Looking today at 10 factors that distinguish us according to the flesh. That is how we do tend to look at people, isn't it? But as the Apostle Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we may get to a point where we don't regard one another according to the flesh, and a change in how you see Jesus leads to a change in how you see others and how you see yourself. And that's a subject that we're going to really look at next time, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you can't be by your radio, you don't have to miss the program. You can always come to our website, openthebible.org. You can stream the program, or you can download an MP3 for free. You can also get the Open the Bible app and listen that way. You can also order a copy of the series on CD. The series is entitled Don't Lose Heart, and it's a series where we've been looking at the fact that we do live in a world full of challenges, full of disappointments, and times where we feel overwhelmed, and then in the midst of that, how do you not lose heart? That's what the Apostle Paul is writing about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you want to get a copy of this series for yourself, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or you'll find ordering information at our website, openthebible.org. Again, our phone number is 1-877-673-6365, and our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt, and I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is, actually, the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Everyone has questions about heaven, but the question that matters most is how do you get there? Many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good enough life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can you. Heaven How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. Many have found that this story opens their eyes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the hope of heaven. You can watch the Heaven How I Got Here film for free on the Open the Bible website. For more information, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.